No? Well, I got mine for all of you. If you will, turn your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And sometimes I guess I feel like Spurgeon, not that I am Spurgeon or in that manner, but he said he slaughtered the king's English, and I guess sometimes my wife tells me I slaughtered the king's English, and what words come out of my mouth are not what y'all think's wrote on that page, but that's just the way I am sometimes. I have to go back and correct myself. But tonight we're in John chapter 4, and I'm glad that there was a time when Jesus had to go through Pine Grove. When you think about this, there was a time where Jesus went through where you were at and where you were at. And in this chapter, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go. He didn't happen chance. He didn't just sort of flippantly. He says, I must needs go. After these things, when Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were deceased. I'm in chapter 6. I'm going to turn back 2 pages. I was testing y'all. The Lord says he will test you. She does. See, there, my Spurgeon just popped all out of that thing. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And I think that's pretty important. We'll get back to it later. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Thus Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou truly saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, is that worship, For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am He. I that speak to thee am He. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or what tellest thou with her? Talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? And we may get to the rest of this, but for time's sake, let's go back to the beginning of this thing. And when I preached this to myself, I thought it sounded pretty good. So we're going to see what happens with it. Because when I like it, I figure the rest of y'all ought to like it, right?
Yes.
But it says here, when it starts off, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples. You remember back in the last chapter, two chapters back, the Pharisees tried to get an argument going on between John's folks and Jesus' folks. And so we see they're still at it. They're still trying to make a split in the believers and saying, well, now you got this great leader here and you got that great leader there, but all the ones from this guy's going over to this side. What's happening? So he says, when he heard they were doing that, Jesus didn't get into arguments over splitting hairs. He says, he was going to leave. He says, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through. And I'm sitting here that Jesus has never saved anybody that he didn't needs to go save. And when I say it that way, you say, huh? What I'm saying is that God the Father chose out some folks for himself. God the Father set them aside. But only through Jesus can they get what they need to get. So everywhere that every man, every woman, every child ever got saved, even though I understand it's the Holy Spirit that comes and quickens them, I understand it's the Holy Spirit that comes and does the work in them, it is Jesus that does the sending. He says, I must go to my Father so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. He says, Holy Spirit, I understand the Father and the Son send the Spirit. They both work simultaneously together. But Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. And when I read that a while ago, I says, I am so glad there was a time when Jesus must needs go through Pine Grove. And I don't know what city you were in. I don't know where you was on your porch or where you was in a bass boat or where you was when Jesus come to where you was. But it was He must needs come to you, and He must needs come to you at that particular exact time to do what He did. God saves every single person on a schedule according to the Father. He knew exactly what we were going to be doing, where we were going to be at, what we were going to be talking about, who we were going to be doing, whatever we were doing with. He knew what He was doing when He sent whoever was a witness to you about the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob's well gave, Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now think about this. What kind of lady is he fixing to talk to? I'm not trying to get the wagon ahead of her, but this lady had been with many husbands. Maybe some ladies would even consider her a woman of ill repute or a prostitute even possibly. They might even look so far down and say, that woman just can't get, so she's got to have everybody. The women did not like her. The women did not want to be around her because she came here at noon. We're going to see that in a minute. But this is the well that Jacob gave to Joseph. Remember Joseph? The one whose integrity was so good that when Potiphar's wife came on to him, day by day by day, he would not lower himself down to sleep with her. He would not lower himself down to be caught with her. In fact, he left his jacket with her so he could run off. This is the well of the boy that had integrity.
Now, I know that has to be in there for some reason, because a good rabbi, a good holy man of God back then, if they saw a woman of ill repute coming down the thing or down the street, they would cross to the other side, because they wouldn't even want to bump elbows with her, because it would be considered he's watching, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But if we read about Jesus, he was always with the sinners. He was always with the publicans. In fact, one guy said, if you knew what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't even let her cry on your feet and rub her hair on you. You would get up and get away from her. I'm so glad Jesus comes to where I'm at. I'm so glad Jesus come to the place where I was. Because if he hadn't, I'd still be lost. If he hadn't have come to right where I was at, I certainly wouldn't have went up to the big church house and says, you know what, I need to be saved. He came to where I was. And that's a special thing about that well. That says, Jacob's well is there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, thus sat on the wall. And it was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the sixth hour. It's pretty hot. It's the middle of the day. He's been coming all the way down the road from Jerusalem. And it says, now think about this. Let's really study this. It says, the disciples are going into town to buy meat. Now think about this. He's hot. He's tired. He's thirsty. He ain't got a bucket. He ain't got a rope. Now, there's water in town, I guarantee you, that you can sit under a tent in a shade tree and drink. He's sitting out here in the middle of this open area. There might be a little canopy there probably to keep the water from evaporating out too quick. But he's sitting there all alone at this well. And he said, oh, I just hope somebody will wander out here that I can talk to. Y'all got that, didn't you? He's just sitting out there and said, I'm all alone out here by this well, and I really would like to save Charlie. And if he would just wander out here by the well, then I would beg him to get saved. I would beg him to just fall all over himself and come to me. No. He's out here at this well in the heat. He could have been in town. I guarantee you there was a shade in town. I guarantee you there was water in town. There was wine in town. There was meat in town. Anything you could have wanted is in town. But he's out here by the well. And this woman's coming out to the well at the sixth hour, because normally they would have went out there early in the morning when it's cool. They'd have got their water. They'd brought it home to do all their business. But because the rest of the women would have been there, they would have mocked her, made fun of her, mistreated her, everything that you could think about, because she's had so many husbands. You know, so Jesus didn't disqualify her for having five husbands and living with a guy. He didn't get all over her about that, even though she proved her sin. She had to repent. It says here, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Like I said, he didn't have a bucket. He didn't have a rope. And she says, now, thou being a Jew. Now we understand the Jews didn't deal with Samaritans, because the Samaritans were half-breeds. They were part Jew, part Syrian, part whatever, part everything else. But they weren't full-blood Jews. So there was a little tit-for-tat going on with these Samaritans. And they didn't associate too good together. She says, you being a Jew. In fact, you being, look like from the fringe on your coat and the way your clothes are made and everything, you a purebred Jew. He says, why would you ask water of me, a woman of Samaria? Now, is thou, being a Jew, askest thou of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Let's camp right there. If thou knewest the gift of God. It's not just something that's all kind of stuff. It is the gift. A particular gift. A glorious gift. A gracious gift that you can only get from God. It's not a bunch of many gifts. It's the gift. Salvation. Now, when you get saved, he gives you a bunch of other things to go along. But getting saved is the gift, because you can get all the rest of the stuff. You could be a pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever, and be lost and go straight to hell. But if you get the gift, Because there's a lot of false pastors, teachers out there, I guarantee you. They're lost. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, whoa, and who it is that said to thee. How many times did somebody witness to me? A good witness. A right witness. And it had no effect. How many times did somebody witness to me about the facts of Jesus Christ, and because it was not my day, I passed over it? Or maybe I'd go to church and I'd hear a little something, and sooner or later I'd back out to where I was at. Sounded good, felt good for a few days, and then it got a little restricting to me. I'm going to tell you, when you get really saved, it ain't restricting no more. You know, you kind of like the stuff. It says, the gift of God, and who it is that giveth thee. It says, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked them, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew the gift, eternal life, if you knew the one that gives it, Jesus Christ, then you would have asked. When the light comes on and you understand there's eternal life, when the light comes on, you understand this Jesus is real. He's God. He's God in the flesh. Then he says, all you have to do is ask. She didn't have to beg. She didn't have to plead. He didn't have to grab her and say, woman, you need to get this stuff. Woman, I'm here to save you. He did not try to whoop it into her. Excuse me. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And the well's deep. I understand that well was probably 100 something feet deep, maybe better. They dug on down, they found some good water down there. You wasn't just going to dip your bucket. If he had just had a bucket, that would have been one thing, but he couldn't have reached. You'd have had to have a rope too. She says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Jesus wasn't talking about dipping in this here well right here to get what he was after. Jesus was talking about that gift of God, that gift of life, that gift that you can't dip into that water and get, but you can dip into Jesus Christ, and it's given freely. It says, art thou greater than our father Jacob? In other words, are you bigger and more powerful than Jacob himself? And we know Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Are you greater than him? Now we know this is a few hundred years passed on down the road. It's just our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, his children and his cattle. In other words, are you greater than the patriarch Jacob? The one who Israel is called after? Are you greater than even him? She's asking some serious questions here. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about this well, this hole in the ground, will thirst again. You just drink that water, you're going to be thirsty again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This gift of God, this living water, this bread of life, this thing that Jesus Christ gives is everlasting. It's not an offer that can be drawn back. It's an offer that's given to whom it's supposed to be given to at that point on purpose to draw them into life eternal. It says, but whosoever drinketh this water, whosoever could be anyone in this building, whosoever could, if they would. It says, whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him, in other words, it's given to you, drink it, shall never thirst. I'm going to tell you, that water in that well, you'll drink a little bit, and after a while you're hot again, you're thirsty again, you need some more of it. But I'm going to tell you what, as much as I can't get all I want of Jesus, I know He's there. I'm filled with the Spirit of God because He's there.
I could be more filled if I quit doing all the things that I do, but I have the Holy Spirit indwelling in me. I have living water to direct me. I have living water to tell me that I have been born again. I have been saved by the gift. And if you're a believer, you have that same thing. And it sprang up in you an everlasting life. The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water. Give me whosoever will." He didn't just keep beating on her until she says, "Well, I'm just going to have to cave in and make this man happy, leave me alone." She heard the facts. She heard the truth. She heard the thing going on there about who he was, what he brought, the gift that he had. And she says, "I want that. I want that." Now let's see what happens. He says, "Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Go call thy husband and come hither. She's in a dilemma now. I can have living water. I can have everlasting life. But he says, "Go get your husband." I don't have a husband. I'm living with this guy. I'm shacked up. I've already had 5 husbands. I'm on my number 6 now. She repented. She was in a dilemma. She saw that she couldn't go get the help she needed from earth. She couldn't go get a husband and bring him to the master and say, "Here he is." Well, she could have, but that wouldn't have worked. Instead, she says, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." She's got a dilemma. She's got a dilemma. He's offering her everlasting life. He's offering her life eternal. The water that you'll never thirst of. All she had to do was bring her husband. And now she says, "I have no husband." Now, if that's the total stipulation, she's out. She's out. And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." You did the very best thing. Come clean with God. You did the very best thing. Said, "God, you're right. I am a sinner. God, you're right. I have no hope in this earth. God, you're right. I have no husband. You got me. You know all about me." Then she really gets her gears to go in. She says, "For thou hast had," and he tells her, "For thou hast had 5 husbands." Now, think about this. I've heard some preaching around the block a few times where they said, "I don't go down that street because I don't want to be caught down there. People might think bad about me." Now, I understand Jesus was at the public well. But he was at the public well at a time when nobody's supposed to be there. And if he'd have been a really, really, really right rabbi, when this woman was coming, he would have moseyed on down the road the other way. I'm glad Jesus ain't scared to be associated with sinners. I'm glad Jesus ain't a worried about what other folks think about somebody trying to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation when he stood at the well. I don't want to be that holy. I don't say I'm not worried about my reputation. I don't want my reputation messed up. But if I have to go down this street to tell somebody about Jesus, I'm going to go. If I have to, I'm going to go. "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sayest truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now she has never seen Jesus. She might have heard about some guy up there, but really she's never even heard that much. Really, the way she acts here, she says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, that's a step up from being a rabbi. That's a step up from being a Pharisee or a Sadducee. "I perceive that thou knowest a whole bunch of stuff about me, and I don't know anything about you. You seem to know everything I ever did. But I want you to understand, God knows everything all of us ever did. Every single. There's nothing hid from God that we have done. We can't sweep it under the rug. We can't hide it in a drawer. We can't put it in a closet. We can't hide it in the attic. Every single thing we have done, regardless of how much we can hide it from each other, He has seen it. He has seen it. The good thing is, for this woman, it didn't disqualify her. It made her a candidate for salvation. She was a sinner. She needed salvation. She needed a Savior. She needed somebody to forgive her of all the things she had ever done. She was in need. It says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." It says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." She was religious. She had some religiosity about her. She had some knowledge of worship and things going on. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." In other words, there was a time when people worshipped right there at Jacob's well. There was a time when they went up on the mount and they worshipped. But for some reason or other, God moved all the worship ceremonies up to Jerusalem. You check that out in Leviticus, Exodus, and Kings and all those places. It's all in there. He moved the tabernacle, everyone, and all of a sudden one day He says, "In Jerusalem is where I'm going to set my tabernacle, and Jerusalem is where we're going to worship at." So if you wanted to make a sacrifice to God, you had to come to Jerusalem. Because all these groves and all these things all over the place were not about God. They were false worship. They were false things. Now you could barbecue at your house. You could do that. But it says when you bring your sacrifice, you got to bring it to Jerusalem. No other place would God accept a sacrifice except at Jerusalem. And ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, "Woman," not being ugly there, "woman, believe me." In other words, listen to what I got to say. Check out what I'm telling you. "Believe me, the hour cometh." Right now, He's still on the earth. Right now, He's still here. Right now, yes, you do go to Jerusalem if you're going to do all the things you're supposed to do according to the Jewish economy. But right now, the time cometh. There cometh a time cometh when we shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. We don't go to Jerusalem every Sunday. We don't go to Jerusalem twice, three times a year to do those sacrifices and stand before God. We don't go to Jerusalem. We stand before God daily or hourly right here where we're at. It says, "There comes a time when you'll neither go to that mountain up there to worship, nor yet at Jerusalem to worship the Father. Ye worship, ye not, know not what." In other words, most folks have a God perceived that they think they worship that is not the real God. This woman up there in some mountain worshiping what they have decided that they're going to worship to please themselves and to please God. Most of the people who were supposed to be going to Jerusalem didn't even make the trip to Jerusalem. We see that they were worshiping Baal and Molech and all those other gods. That's why God put them where He did. It says that ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. In other words, the Messiah cometh from the Jews. These people who think that we're supposed to be against the Jews ain't listening too good. We are a Judeo-Christian group. We come from, our salvation comes from Jesus Christ, who is a Jew. They're not our enemy. They're not. We should pray for them. They may not have all this stuff figured out, but we're supposed to pray for them anyways. It says, salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshiper. I have to study that sometime. Am I a true worshiper? Am I really doing this right? I have to examine myself. Everybody should examine herself to make sure I've got my stuff right. He said, but the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I am not building me an idol. I am not building me something to go up and lay down in front of and wallow around and say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." I am worshiping God the Father in truth because I know He's spirit
And I worship Him through Jesus Christ to get to Him. He is not something that I can grasp with my hands. He's not something that I can get a hold of in my imagination. He is Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the spirit of what God has put in us. In the spirit, and the fact that truth is that He is all that He needs to be and all that He can be. He is everything. That I should worship Him in truth and spirit, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. When Jesus is talking to this lady at the well, He's not looking for someone to build an idol to. He's not looking at someone to just say, "Oh, Jesus." He's looking for someone that will worship God in truth and in spirit. He's looking for someone that when He converts them, when He changes their heart, they're not going to build a statue. They're not going to wear an amulet around their neck. They're not going to have a lucky rabbit's foot. They're looking at God in truth and in spirit. I see so many of these guys who come out of some of these denominations. They got these big old crosses on, and they got these big old St. Christopher's and St. Joseph's and St. whoever's are on, and they think that this guy is going to protect them and watch over them. That is so far from the truth and so far from the Spirit that you can't even get a hold of it. My God is not a thing that I hang around my neck. My God is not something that I hang on the wall. My God is not something that I can grasp a hold of. He's bigger than all of that. And I worship Him as the one who has all power, all might, all everything. And He is the creator of everything I am. Must worship Him in truth and spirit. Such to worship. He seeks such to worship Him. A true believer, if they've been born again, worships Jesus Christ in truth, in spirit. This flesh messes up. If we go back to Romans 8 again, it says that we may with the head or with the heart, we do the spirit thing, and with the flesh, we still obey the laws of the flesh. We mess up. But a believer, while he still messes up in this flesh, his heart, his desires are on God Himself. It says, God is a spirit. Imagine that. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah come. Wait a minute. This is a Samaritan woman way off on the side of the village somewhere, way out of the beaten trail. She's not in Jerusalem. She's not in Galilee. She's not in one of them Jewish places. She says, I know that Messiah cometh. Don't tell me that they didn't know He was on the way. Don't tell me that they hadn't heard He's coming. This woman who's at this well in an out-of-the-way place, who's in a mixed-breed country, knows about the Messiah. And in fact, she not only knows about the Messiah, in a roundabout way, she's looking for the Messiah. Wondered where that took place at. How that got about in her heart, that God had her looking for the Messiah. And He doesn't ever mess with nobody much. It says here, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. When He's come, not weeks after we meet Him, not days after, but when He is come, He will tell us all things. The very moment that Jesus met me in Pine Grove, He started telling me all things. He ain't through yet. I'm still growing. What I'm trying to say is, the day He met you, and the place He met you, He started telling you all things. He started opening your heart to spiritual things. He started opening your heart to Bible things. He started opening your heart to godly things. He started telling you all things that you needed for salvation and a walk with God. It says, the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when He has come, He will tell us all things. Not He might. Not we'll have to go follow Him around. He will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, a lot of people say, I've read the Bible and Jesus never one time said He was God. Well, they ain't read it too close as far as I can tell. But right here He says, I am the Messiah. Watch it, watch it. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee
am He. The great I Am is standing in front of this lady looking for truth, who knows the Messiah is coming, who will tell her all things, and He looks her dead in the eye. He don't sort of do like this. And He looks her dead in the eye and says, the one that's speaking to you, am He. Am He. You don't have to look for another. You don't have to think about going back to your house and getting your books out and saying, well, is this it? Now, I know the Bereans did all that stuff. But this lady's standing right there with Jesus. The Bereans weren't. Jesus is right here with her. And upon this came His disciples. And they marveled that He talked with the woman. And we've done been over some of that. That we understand that a good Jew would not have been sitting there with her for many reasons. Yet no man said, hey Jesus, come here. You do know who she is, right? You do know what kind of woman this is, right? You know you should have never sat here and said anything or talked with her, right? Come on, this is Peter. This is we your pals, we your buddies, we your disciples. You know what kind of reputation you'd get talking to her, right? That's not what the Scripture said. These guys, they might have been big, quick to open their mouths a lot of times, but this is one time they didn't say a word. It says here, they marveled. Of course, in their mind, they might have been thinking all kind of stuff, but Jesus doesn't even address that like He does in a lot of places. That He talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou? What seekest thou? There ain't but a couple of things that a man talking to a woman at the well could have been after. What see? They didn't even open their mouth. He says, what seekest thou? Or what? Why talkest thou with her? In other words, she's a Samaritan. She's a half-breed. She doesn't even deserve your time, Jesus. Why would you talk to her, Jesus? And I'll take you right back to the third verse. Must needs go through Samaria. Must needs go to a child elect of God. Must needs go to where they're at. Must needs to go to this woman because she's on my plan of salvation. Not a plan, His plan. He was sent to her. She needed a Savior. She was one of the ones that God put in Christ before the foundation of the world. She was there, and if He'd have stayed in Jerusalem, she wouldn't have got the message. If He'd have went around like they always did and went to Galilee that way, she wouldn't have got the message. You see, you got to get the gospel preached to you. God uses the foolishness of preaching. Jesus went to where she was and says, I have the gift of God. If you knew who it was that talks to you, I would give it to you freely if you would ask. He must needs go. In the meanwhile, no. Let's go back. Come and see. She left. It says, the woman left her water pots. Now think about this. She went up there to get water. She went up there to get the primary essential things she needed for her life, for her family, for things going on back at the house. And when she got this gift of God, when she got this living water, the essential thing that she was doing, the primary thing that she came to do, became secondary. In fact, she left her water pot. She said, well, I'm going to fill up my pots. I'm going to pack them on down the road. And then I'm going to tell these guys there's a guy back up at the well. No, that's not what she did. That's not what we do when we get saved. We have got to go tell somebody what happened. It says, the woman then left her water pots, went her way into the city and said to the men. The women weren't going to listen to her anyways. The women didn't care nothing about what she had to say. And I'm sure the men were a little scared to talk to her because they're wise. Because if you talk to that woman, boy, I'll get on you. I'll skin your head. It says, the woman left her water pots and went her way in the city. And she said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Would you want to ever... Well, these guys knew what she was. These people in this city knew who she was. They knew the lifestyle she had. They knew everything about it. But she says, let me tell you a man I have never met. Let me tell you a man that has never seen me before. Let me tell you somebody who's up there at the hill on the water there, at the well. And he told me everything I ever did. Would you go to town and tell somebody, let me go show you a man that showed me all the things I ever did? That would scare me to death. That would scare me to death for somebody to come to where I'm at and say, here's what you did. I seen you when you did this, and I seen you when you did that, and I know when you were doing that, and I know this one over here wasn't this, and I know that one over there wasn't that. Man, would you want to bear your soul to that person? The one who knows all about you? That is your only safety, is to pour it all out and say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I have had five husbands. Yes, Lord, the one I'm living with ain't my husband now. Yes, Lord, you know all about me. You know everything about me. And yet I still want that water. Forgive me. Because I am a sinner. I am a candidate for salvation. She left her water. She went to the men. Then they went out from the city and came unto him. And as this goes on down, he says that he witnessed to all the men. He says, in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, let's eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They didn't understand the whole purpose of that journey. It was not for them to go into town and buy sandwiches. It was not for them to go in town and pick up some water. It was not for them to go in town and get a six-pack of Coca-Cola. The whole purpose of this journey was for him to meet this woman at the well. He knew she'd be there. She may not have knew she'd be there, but he knew she'd be there. He knew exactly what time, what hour, and he knew exactly what time to tell them guys. Look, guys, I'm going to sit right here. I'm tired. My feet hurt. Y'all just go on down yonder and get some stuff. Well, they were glad to go to town. Man, there's shade down there. There's water down there. We get a sandwich down there. And then we'll pick up what we need. We'll go on back. Therefore said the disciples unto him on the way, hath any man brought thee all to eat? In other words, somebody brought you a sandwich? Somebody brought you to take care of you? We went to get you food. He says, there's more to life than food. There's more to life than this stuff. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There was a purpose. There was a plan. There was an immediacy of what he did. His meat was not to go there to get groceries. His meat was not to cross through there because they had the best lamb chops. His meat was to go see this woman at the well to give her salvation. And then we get into the prospect of witnessing, and we get into the prospect of winning folks to Christ. And he says, there was a multitude of folks that came out. And Jesus says, look, they said, look at all the folks that are coming. And Jesus says, look, the fields are wide unto harvest. But guess what? It says, you reap where you didn't sow. That's what scares me about this day's time. Nobody's out there sowing. So if nobody's out there sowing, who's going to do any reaping? He says, you got the fields are wide into harvest. They're ready to be sickled down and brought into the storehouse. But guess what? You're going to reap. Somebody else has done preached. Somebody else has done witnessed. Somebody else has done the legwork. And you're going to enter into what they're doing because God has let you be the one to be the last one that talks to them. Most of the time when we see somebody come to Christ, it ain't because we spent hours and hours and hours doing something. Somebody else has. Whether it be through books or through preaching or whatever. Somebody else has spent a lot of time with this individual and you just get to be the one that God says, you get to be the one to see it happen. And don't get me wrong, I love to see it happen. But I also understand that every time that I go preach at the jail or every time I go to a home or wherever and I preach and I give the gospel, if I don't see something happen then, there's somebody else. It's a good possibility they may get to see that fruit come to the finish line. they may get to see it. So when we get discouraged about witnessing, we get discouraged. So these guys are fixing to win a whole city or half of a city or most of the city to Jesus Christ by witnessing. And they didn't one time preach a sermon there. They just happened to go to the grocery store and come out. And Jesus was right there on the hill giving the message. We never know when somebody's going to walk up to us that somebody else has done been giving the truth to, that somebody else has done been telling the facts to, and God's going to say, he's right. He's ready. She's right. She's ready. Go tell her what God did for you. You see, most of our witnessing ain't about just saying, thus saith the Lord, if you don't do this, you'll die. If you don't do this, you'll go to hell. Most of what we do is telling somebody what God did for us. Yes, I was lost. Yes, I was a sinner. One day Jesus met me and He changed me. Now the life that I live is not nothing like the life I used to live. That's our witness. That's what God has done to us. We tell people what God has done for us so they can see the human factor of what the change is all about. And then the Spirit does the Spirit thing. The Spirit does the drawing thing. And we talk about ropes and buckets there. I like to think about the fishing rod. How many fish, you throw that bait out there and you're reeling it in, and he hits that bait. Poof. Now, do you beg him in? I don't think so. I reel that boy in. That's called drawing. And he's going to fight, and that fish is going to run this way, he's going to run that way, he's going to try to get under this limb, get under that log, and I'm steady doing like this. And my line ain't as good as God's line, but his line don't break. His hook don't bend. His line don't, string don't stretch. So I'm sitting here when it says, you got anything to draw with? When God says He draws you out, He's not begging you. He's not teasing you. He has set the hook and He's got that thing on number 9 wine and He's going to bring you all the way in. See, God doesn't beg you into salvation. These people say, well, He'll draw you, but you could jump out of the bucket. Ah, man. Some of these folks, they'll say all kinds of things to make it your will to stay in the bucket. I'm going to tell you, that fish on that line, his will is not to stay on the hook. His will is not to get in your boat. His will is not to get fried for supper. His will is to break that line, break that hook, and get away. I fought God all my life to the day He saved me. You fought God too. But when He set that hook and said, I must needs go through Pine Grove, when He says, I'm after you today, it's you I came to see. It's you that I came to call out. It's you that I am going to save. I fought that hook all my life. I rejected that plan all my life. But when God says, I'm drawing him out of darkness, He didn't sit there and say, oh, please, oh, please. That line was tight. That line went here and there and every which way to get away. But thank God His line don't break. And He reeled me right on into the boat. And there's a couple of places where it talks about the nets. And the first thing it talks about, and the nets break. Because that was manly fishing. In the last place, he said, they caught so many fish the net should have broke, and yet the nets did not break. When God's pulling in the nets, you don't jump out. You don't get away, and the nets don't break. You can say, well, you can jump out of the bucket all you want to. If you want to make that feel like that's what's happening, if you jumped out of the bucket, you wasn't on the line. If you jumped out of the bucket, it wasn't you He came to get. But if you're here today, a believer in Jesus Christ, no way at any time were you going to jump out of the bucket. No way at any time were you going to get off the hook. No way at any time were you going to escape. And if you're on His list of go-getters, He's coming to get you. He's going to get you. You will in no wise escape if God's after you.
Brother Keith. Oh, dismiss us, please.